Good morning, y'all. I'm Arthur Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our Seafarer Sunday edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Hey, some really great Facebook stuff I've posted in the last couple weeks. I think I found my favorite all-time cat video. You know how cats, we call it marching or kneading bread or something, where there's the cutest video of a cat, and then who's got a little apron on, and he's sitting on the table, and darn it, he's on the kitchen table. He's actually kneading a big ball of dough. And then there's a second cat with an apron and a sweater on. And then there's three cats with aprons, and they're all kneading dough, real dough.
Very anyway, good I technique, just, taking the edge and bringing it into the middle.
Yeah, it's like he really knows what he's doing. I mean, I just think it's the cutest darn thing I've ever seen. And then leading us to our next guest, Henry Rooster and his lovely lady, Arabella. You know, Merritt and Beth kind of take a back seat here. But the rooster and the chickens are here today. And then there's this video. There's this guy. He's obviously got a rooster as a pet. And the rooster's in the house with him. And he's talking to the rooster. And he's getting the rooster to moon dance to Michael Jackson music.
And that totally is a moonwalk, too.
Isn't that a moonwalk? Isn't that rooster? Is that amazing or what? That is the cutest darn thing. And so you got to turn on the music so you can hear it. But I was so hopeful because Merritt and Beth, you know, often, you know, see the Facebook posts. So I wanted to make sure that they saw this because... Anyway, so just so you know, we are joined the Henry the Rooster and Arabella, his lady friend, are joining us. And just so we have some humans to talk to, Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, you guys. How are you?
Good morning, Martha.
And you're coming to us from the lovely Whidbey Island, and you are obviously outside with Henry and Arabella. So are you having it's beautiful, blue sky, sunny, perfect Sunday over here. What's it doing on Whidbey? You looking good?
Gorgeous. Same thing here. Gorgeous. Today we're smart enough to set up in the shade.
I was going to say, you're in a different place, I think, and you're in the shade. So that looks very, very good planning.
Nice here. Cool.
Now, for anybody that may be just tuning in, hasn't heard you before, give us just a little lowdown. What is animals24-7.org all about?
We report the news about animals from all around the world with an emphasis on the intersection of animal issues with public health and safety.
And my God. I am just more and more impressed with you. Merritt, I don't know how you do this. I mean, I think you literally must do Animals 24-7. Do you ever sleep?
Yes, I can attest to that.
I mean, the amount of information that you put together, the research that you do, the details and the history related to anything that you post is mind-boggling.
And here's the amazing thing. Mm-hmm. He's been doing it for more than 55 years.
More than 55 years. Son of a gun. I'm just blown away. No, I was majorly blown away. And what we're going to focus on here right now is, you know, I warned you about this. If you thought you knew the story of Lolita Tokete, you know, our orca, and you know, most, I think, Nathan, you know about Lolita and Tokete. Now, you know, you were much younger than she was, so you not like I was around in the beginning, and I actually, I'm not sure for sure, Merritt and Beth, but when they were doing the orca captures, you know, originally.
Yeah, it's about 8 miles from here.
Right. When they were doing that, there was some filming going on, reporters filming, and some of it made it to TV. And I can remember watching as a kid, you know, I can remember watching them capture the orca and feeling terrible about it. But yeah, I didn't really understand anyway, but I remember watching, it was actually filmed. I don't know if when Tokate was captured, if she was one of the ones that was in the, you know, that was filmed and stuff.
The film that people see is from 1971.
Oh,
that
okay.
That film was from 1970, but it was a pretty much the same thing. They were herded into Penn Cove and selected, some of them were selected out and craned up onto the Penn Cove shellfish dock there, which is still there. Well, they did that from 1975 to 1973 every year.
So, you know, just like that, you know, I mentioned, well, I remember as a kid sitting there in front of the TV and watching them do this whale thing, and not liking it, not feeling good about it and getting sick to my stomach, but not really understanding any of that at that point. But one of the things that you guys sent out, because you do are fairly prolific in the reports that you send out on all different kinds of things, animals all around this country and the world and that sort of thing. But this one is entitled Lolita, Not the Orca Whale Activists Thought She Was. Her truth was worse.
The conventional belief has always been that she was a member of LPOD, which is one of the southern resident pods.
Right. Right.
The DNA doesn't show that, neither does her size, neither does the fact that she did not mate with Hugo, who was a southern resident whale, in the 10 years they had together at the Miami Seaquarium, and her diet.
Also, isn't it the pattern of the saddle pad and stuff on her?
Right.
Doesn't match. And I just by reading this whole article, which is a long, all the history of this all the way back, like I'm blown away, Mira. I just don't know how. Anyway, I learned so much. But when you go through this, you everything that all the information that's you've accumulated, it really appears that she was not a member of one of the LPOD, the Southern Orcas, that she was a transient, right? Maybe from Alaska.
Right. The DNA evidence suggests that she was probably a member of the Alaskan transient group, which sometimes do come this far south. And somehow she got separated from her family and swept up in this mass capture of the southern residents, which can happen because in the month of August, that's when the Alaskan whales are most likely to turn up here in Puget Sound.
Uh-huh.
And it was in August that these big roundups were done. Now, an important thing to realize here is that the southern residents typically travel in groups of about 18 whales, a fairly large pod. But the transients typically travel in little groups of only two or three. They're hunting marine mammals, dolphins, porpoises, and especially harbor seals in here. They're not salmon eaters like the southern resident population, which is so heavily dependent on the Chinook salmon.
Right.
So she was probably hunting or trying to hunt harbor seals in Penn Cove when the other whales were driven into Penn Cove, and then of course she couldn't get out, and she was a fairly big, healthy looking young whale. She was selected and sent to Miami, and nobody really realized until the DNA work was done in the early 2000s, more than 30 years later, that maybe she was not a southern resident at all.
And before she was captured and sent to Florida, to the Seaquarium, they had already gotten Hugo, a male orca from these, you know, from the southern residents. And so Hugo was already there. And then they took Lolita down there to be a mate for Hugo.
and it
But
never
then that
worked
didn't
out.
work out the way they intended.
No, they got along, but they didn't mate. And that was ascribed to the fact of their being in captivity. But orca whales have successfully mated many, many times in captivity. They're not one of those species like pandas. It's hard to get them to mate.
Right. So
But
that normally would have happened. I think that you made it clear that the resident orca pods, JKL, or those pods, compared to the transients, it's almost like a completely different whale.
there are different subspecies that have,
Okay, different subspecies, but and so they don't necessarily breed together.
right, they've been genetically separated for around 100,000 years.
So
So,
that could explain, it could be the bigger reason why she and Hugo, didn't mate.
well, they
And of
might have
course,
mated, but she wouldn't have become pregnant because they're genetically too different.
right.
gotcha. Okay, so that, amazing. And of course, we didn't learn the lesson, or they didn't learn the lesson with Hugo. I found it interesting because I didn't realize, I hadn't remembered, maybe, or maybe I didn't know. That the laws had been changed in Florida to require a better, bigger space and habitat for whales, you're going to have them. But because this seaquarium existed before that law happened, it got grandfathered in.
It was
And
grand.
that's why they were allowed to keep these whales in like a bathtub. And it was just the most cruel and abusive thing you could possibly do to whales. And they didn't learn the obvious message when Hugo, and I do believe he committed suicide. I mean, he would ram his head into the side of the aquarium, and he finally killed himself, had an aneurysm, and died. You would have thought maybe they'd clean up their act there move. They named Tokate Lolita, was her show name, to a better place, but that never happened. And
Bolton
then it
Russ Rector spent 24 years of his life trying a variety of legal actions, trying to have that whale stadium condemned as being too small. Unfortunately, he was not successful. But Valerie Green, who is a former SeaWorld trainer who has become a lawyer, was going through Russ Rector's papers, helping his widow sort his papers, and she realized that she also had gathered a great deal of information through Freedom of Information Act requests, and she realized that most people didn't realize that she was not a southern resident whale, which somewhat changed the legal status, because if she had been a southern resident whale, she would have been part of a designated population segment of an endangered species, whereas the transients are only a threatened species.
Ah.
They're not the highest level of protection of the endangered species list. So that made a difference as well.
Well, and I learned so much from just this article that you shared of who the people involved were, who was doing what. Fascinating, the photographs you had. I love the old picture. We all know who Rick O'Berry is, who used to be, a flipper trainer. I didn't realize he was at the Seaquarium down there. There's a picture of him with Hugo, him as a young man, when he was a trainer.
That
But
was just before Rick switched to becoming an anti-captivity activist. He
right.
was
So
there.
he learned, and because he was so close with these marine mammals and training them and all of that, and then began to realize what we were doing, and so he continues to spend his life, and he's the one that organizes for the Taiji dolphin killings and all of that sort of thing. Anyway, it's great to see these photographs, but then seeing all the people that were involved. And then one of the things that really got me, because somebody really messed up the detail, and I think it was this Ken Balcom guy. Now, having heard a lot about him, because he's local here and stuff. Now,
He's
and wasn't there was some push when they were trying to get, they wanted to get Lolita released, and brought back. And what I don't know, was it maybe the Russ
Russ
Rector or
Rector.
something that was consulting on of this and was involved with Ken and told him, do not go back home to the Northwest and start screaming free Lolita and try to go at it from that regard. He said, you go home and you be quiet and you organize and you get everything ready. You get the C-pens and all, and you get all that ready. And then we'll address it from the right way. And that's our best chances of being able to move her. Well, now I'm like, you know, that knucklehead, he didn't listen. He came back here and what'd he do? Start screaming, free Lolita, free Lolita. And then we all got upset and on board and all of that. But apparently that kiboshed the whole thing. And that was a big reason why they weren't successful.
Right.
And
Russ,
getting her back here.
Russ told me about that meeting right after it happened. So I talked with him within probably 15 minutes of that meeting occurring. And, you know, 20 odd years later, he was still stymied by the problem that there hadn't been a place for Lolita to go when his first petition on the size of the whale stadium was being considered by the National Marine Fisheries Service. But I do have to point out that it was Ken Balcom building on the works of a man named Mike Big, now deceased, they're both now deceased,
Biggs,
who actually first discovered the differences among the southern residents and the offshore transient group. It took a lot longer after that the classification was better established by DNA work, but they were going by photographic identification of the saddle patches and other markings, other scars. And they did a great job on that. Before that, the orcas were kind of considered an amorphous mass, all alike. And of course, as we know now, they were not.
And, you know, the one thing that, because I didn't realize any of this, that she was, you know, probably a transient and all of that. And so kind of the bottom line you're bringing across is that there may not have been a family or a home for her to come back to. But that, you know, I told you that I wanted to, I didn't know if you had mentioned it or not, because I might have missed it. I went back. You did mention it. What immediately popped into my mind is that some point, because I did back then, we did a lot of work with communicators. Have you guys ever worked with communicators that talk to animals? Talked well? Have you ever? Yeah.
Not really. We know some, but
But one of the things that we had learned is that apparently someone recorded the sounds from the L-pod. And then the recording went down and they played it for Lolita. And we were told that she seemed to recognize it and respond, and
the story
that sort
been
of
around, the story's been around for years, but neither Valerie Green nor Russ Rector nor the National Marine Fisheries Service were ever able to find any documentation that ever took place. That somebody actually had a recording, that somebody actually played it at the Miami Seaquarium. There's rumors that this person or that person is the one that did it, but nobody stepped forward and said, I did it on such and such a date, and here's the recording. That seems to be in the realm of mythology.
Hmm. Yeah, because at the time it felt really real and all of that. And of course, you know, I dabble with talking with animals and so forth. But the other thing that was occurring to me in reading all of this is that, you know, I wanted to find out if have you worked with communicators before? Because I'll tell you that, you know, there are many that aren't that great and all that sort of thing, but it's very legitimate and there's some really good ones out there. And what I was thinking in reading this is, have you heard of Mary Gettin?
Doesn't ring a bell. Yeah, no.
All right. She's a communicator. She used to be local here. She worked for Ken, and she specializes in talking to marine mammals, and she spent a lot of time on the water and with these orcas and all of that. And her book is phenomenal, Communicating with Orcas. And I don't, well, I'm sure we'd probably find a way to get a copy for you. But she's no longer in our area. She moved to Florida and she's sort of retired, but I think she still works. But see, what I first want to do now that I know all of this, my inclination is to call up Mary and find out what she knows. Cause I don't know what she knows. And I don't know. I know we all did communication with Tokatay and so forth. And she, we all got the same thing that yes, she wanted to come back to the Northwest, but I don't know that we got confirmation of family and stuff, but I bet we could find out if she's really a transient and stuff from Mary's work. So maybe we'll pursue that on the side and get some more information there. But anyway, I so appreciate the work that you do and all of this information. And folks, you just got to get on the mailing list or get to the website, animals24-7.org. And you got to read about all of this because it's amazing what we don't know. Now, but I mean, we're out of time. We're behind time and we didn't do our ads. And Nathan, when I'm ready here, you can drop my ad, Animal World ad, and let's put it all together and we'll run those after Merritt and Beth and then go to Ananda and we should be good. Would that work for you? Cool. Okay. So, let's have everybody, you know, you got to check out animals24-7.org, read this article and stuff. Do we have any good news to end us today?
Oh, good news.
There's got to be some.
Yeah, I've got to shift metal gears here. It seems like the Japanese just killed their first whale with their new ship. That's not good news.
Oh, they don't know
that the racing at Indianapolis is now safer.
Oh, yeah. It's nobody's been killed at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 15 years, but a lady got killed washing two pit bulls a couple blocks from the speedway yesterday. So if you look at racing cars, that's good news.
Sort of. No, not good news that she was killed.
No, it's not good
well,
news.
You know, the good news, I guess maybe we could make it into good news that we've learned so much about Tokate and Lolita and all of that. The truth is all coming out. She might not have had a family to go back to, but she would have been a whole lot happier in a sea pen up here. Whether or not there's family and who knows all of that. But I guess the good news is hopefully that we've learned our lesson. And we'll continue being done with this. And now we just have to make sure that Rick O'Berry and all of his stuff is successful and we can shut down all this dolphin killing and whale killing and all this sort of thing that doesn't need to be happening anymore.
Well, may I say something?
Sure.
What I was going to say was it would be unfair. We call her Lolita. I grew up with Lolita.
Exactly, me too. But she really is Tokate. Sure.
And it would be a disservice to her to deny how many children she made smile and made happy.
Yeah.
The fact is, it was wrong to steal her from the ocean, but she made the best of it, and she did make a lot of children happy, and she helped children appreciate and love orcas and animals. And I'm not condoning the Seaquarium's behavior or Don Goldsberry, who stole her in the first place, and Hugo. But in her life, what she did was make a lot of people happy. And I do really feel that she enjoyed watching the crowd and the children.
And I think you're right. And I think that's a wonderful place to end. Because, you know, just so you know, and all this communication stuff. And I know if Sita, if you're listening, I'm going to get to you really quick here, but I want to finish up on this. When remember Keiko, who was in, you know, aquarium. Okay. And he was in a terrible, I think, down in Mexico or something. And then they brought him up to Oregon in a much better environment. And then they wanted to release him. And so there's all that. And eventually they did. But what we did as communicators, we all talked to Keiko. All of us independently, and I can't remember how many of us were involved with this. Every single one of us got the same message from Keiko. I don't want to be released. I am bonded with people now. I want to stay here. I want to be with people. Hey, yay! So Henry says that's the truth. And of course, nobody listened to us. He was released, wasn't happy. swam to, you know, Norway and wanted to be with people and all of that. And it was a horrible ending. But the good news is, I mean, I love that. Beth, let's leave this with Lolita. God bless Lolita, Tokate's soul. And yeah, it wasn't good. We hope we learned our lesson. But you're right. She delighted so many children and so many people and woke so many of them up to the beauty of orcas and marine life and the need to care for them properly and leave them in their environment of the ocean.
Yes.
So Merritt, Beth, thank you so much for the work that you do. Everybody check out animals24-7.org. Get on the newsletter. And if you got a little money to send, so we got to support Merritt. You know, I think this is, you know, 24/7. He's really doing this and I'm amazed. So anyway, thank you so much, you guys. Yes. And we will thank talk you to you again. Abby.
Okay.
Next month. God bless.
Bye, Mark. Bye, Nathan.
Bye-bye. All righty. We are going to switch gears here and take care of advertisers. And we'll do that real quick and then come back. And we're going to take care of the human animals now. And Sita from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga is going to join us. Biggest class of the year and most popular coming up next month. So we'll hear all about it. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's AnandaWashington.org.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, inviting you to tune in. Join me on Talk Cosmos Sunday, August 4, 1 p.m. Pacific for Archetypal Symbols, Cosmic Energy Themes, Self-Actualization. Understand astrology with Sabian symbols, numerology, tarot, Vedic, and mythology. The Leo New Moon calls us to experience our creations, developing a deeper phase of ourselves. So come journey with us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, August 4, 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now,
give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com. For more information,
would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just a tad behind schedule, but we're getting back on caught up right now, and it is time to address the human animal. And what's coming up at the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga and the Blue Lotus Temple and Yoga Hall and Bothell. It's been a while since we've been able to chat, but one of my favorite people to talk to is on the phone right now. And so welcome back to Animal World. Good morning, Sita.
Good morning, Martha.
Hey, how are you doing today on this beautiful Seafair Sunday?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Did you do temple this morning?
I did not. I have a different plan for today, and this is a fun part of it.
Ah, well, wonderful, wonderful. I'm assuming that they had a wonderful service, though, and such a beautiful Sunday. And we got big stuff coming up at Ananda. And of course, the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga kind of covers a lot of territory here in our area. So just in case somebody doesn't know, kind of the headquarters of Ananda in our area, wouldn't we call that, the Blue Lotus Temple? Isn't that kind of the headquarters?
Yeah, that is pretty much the center of activity, and other things sort of radiate out from there. But yeah, that's a fair thing to say.
Okay, so we've got the Blue Lotus Temple, where there are services on Sunday and all kinds of other stuff that go on at the temple. And that's on the Bothell Everett Highway in the Canyon Park area. And then right next to the Blue Lotus Temple is the big yoga hall, where a lot of the yoga classes are and so forth. So all kinds of stuff goes on at that location. But we've talked about it. And of course, if you came out, we did the finally, after 5 years of the pandemic and all of that, had an open house at the Ananda Linwood community, which is where a lot of the members live, and apartments there. And sometimes there are events there at the Ananda community. But then another big deal is that East West Bookshop is alive, well, and thriving again in downtown Edmonds. So that's a big deal. And then now Sita Ananda now has a new kind of little retreat out in the country, like Stevens area, called Heart Song. Are there going to be, just as his curiosity, will there be any public events that might happen, at that location? Or is it mostly available for private retreats and that sort of thing?
Eventually, the retreats and offerings will be open to the public. Right now, we're just starting off a few retreats with the Sangha to sort of give them a test run in the space and see how things.
Yeah, because just so you know, this property is real new to Ananda, so they're just kind of getting geared up. But eventually, it sounds like there may be some public events there. But most of what we talk about happens at the Blue Lotus Temple or the Yoga Hall in Bothell. And since the pandemic, it seemed to be such a silver lining was that Ananda learned how to make everything hybrid and do all the classes online and either streaming or Zoom or whatever. So most all of the offerings these days you can come to in person, or you can attend online. So a lot of great ways to get involved. Anyway, Sita, we got some big stuff coming up. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I think the biggest class and the one that is open to everyone, no prerequisites whatsoever. It's a good chance to dip your toes into meditation and yoga if it's new to you, or just expand if it's not, is the Art and Science of Raja Yoga course.
Well, yeah. And, I think that's how I started.
Me
and my friend Krista, we had, both had read Autobiography of a Yogi and had spiritual paths going already, but we wanted to learn Kriya Yoga. And the place to do that, of course, was at Ananda. And if you want to learn Kriya Yoga, then you have to get some education before you do that. And you begin with the Art and Science of Raja Yoga. So that's where I started a long, long time ago. And so that was pretty much your first big endeavor too with Ananda.
It was, yes. And,
fabulous class. So tell us about the class and what we need to know about it.
Right. So it starts September 5th. It's a Thursday. It's every Thursday evening, either in person at the Ananda Blue Lotus Meditation or by Zoom. You don't even have to live locally to do it. And if you, we know life, life is life. And if you have to miss a class or two, you can watch the recording. All of the classes are recorded. The first half of the program is Hatha Yoga postures. It's open to everyone. You don't have to have ever done a single yoga posture. And it's also open to people with experience in yoga. And then the second half is the meditation aspect, the Raja Yoga aspect, making meditation a way of life. And you can do them both, or you can do them separately. We understand for some people, Hatha Yoga maybe not appeal to them, and that doesn't exclude anyone from wanting to learn to meditate and learn the philosophy of a yogic lifestyle. So do it.
Yeah, I could say the first time I did the class, because the person I was taking it with didn't want to do the Hatha yoga part. And for any of you that are confused or interested, Hatha yoga is the physical body postures, as Sita said, but that's what it's called. So yoga isn't just yoga. Yoga covers a lot of bases. And so the Hatha yoga is learning how to do the physical body posturing. So we didn't do that half. We just did the Raja yoga part in order to be able to then do the Kriya yoga stuff. But I then later on, I went back and took the class again and did both parts. So, you know, you can do just one, or you can do both, or you can do one and then come back and do both later. So it really is wonderful. Now, when I took the classes, there was no option of being able to do it online. That's just a real gift, especially if you can't make it, you know, physically to class 1 week. You can Zoom in online, or like I said, Sita said, if you miss it, you can watch the recordings. So it is pretty set up really well to be able to do all of the classes, and because it's a fairly long one. You said it starts September 5th on Thursday evenings. And how many weeks does it go?
It ends the week, the Thursday before Thanksgiving. So every year.
So already all the way into November.
Yeah, so about 10, 11 Thursdays. And one Saturday, there's a whole day retreat, which is really fun. But you can also attend that online.
Gosh, see, so, you know, all the bases are covered. And this is open to anybody that's interested. Is there an age limit, you know?
I mean, you can be 108 and come if it's your interest.
Right. Well, and I was thinking more in terms of young, I've never seen any real kids in the class. I think we wait. This is an adult thing, right?
Well, you know, some kids are very mature, and if they can attend, like a teenager can attend and, you know, truly
That's
be
true.
Part of the class.
So if you've got real motivated teenagers, you know, they might want to do it with you.
Yeah, but really what I've seen is it's best to let that be their decision and not to make them go because we think it would be good for them. It's
Be a voluntary thing, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so if they wanted to, you know, try it online, maybe that's a easier, a lower-hanging fruit for them. But yeah, of course, there's exceptions for everything. It's really about the individual and what's the best for them. That's why we offer so many options of ways to make it work. And same with the yoga postures. We use props. We use variations, modifications. It's really not about touching your toes.
And really you have created a really flexible way in that you cover the bases for everyone. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't get down on the floor. Well, you don't have to. You can do yoga in a chair. Okay. And it's amazing how they can accommodate you, you know, and whatever you're capable of or not capable of doing physically. So there's always something that you can do. And so you don't have to be afraid of it, that I can't do it, because there's a way.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Sounds wonderful. And so the beginning of the class is the Hatha yoga part. And then the second half of the class is the Raja yoga meditation part. Basically, is this still learning basic meditation and so forth, related to making it part of your life, I think. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We may be missing it, but I think there's a Raja open house before it starts, but I kind of have it in my mind. Is that today?
It's in 13 minutes.
Okay. So it starts at...
people go on to our homepage. There's a link you can click, and there's a button to a free information session. You can just click a button, and it'll take you to Zoom to attend it. So it's almost perfect.
Oh. So if you're close to the Blue Lotus Temple in Bothell, you could, you know, be popping in your car right away and zoom over there, because the open house, now I'm assuming the instructors will be there. And one of the wonderful things around the Raja class is it's our wonderful Dr. Morali Venkatro is teaching, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't waste an opportunity to experience Morali and learn from Morali. Really incredible. And then is it Nancy that's doing the Hatha part?
Nancy is doing the Hatha part, and they'll both be there today. But even if you don't live near the temple, I can give you the information right now to go online and join the free Zoom session.
Okay. What do we need to know?
So you just go to our website. It's, as you say, www, or however you say it. It's so cute.
I think you don't even have to do that anymore. It's just anandawashington.org, isn't it?
Yeah, it's anandawashington.org. And once you go to the homepage, I'm going to go there right now so I give this correctly. In the upper left corner on the top blue bar, upper left corner, it says information session for art and science of Raja Yoga, August 4th at 12 p.m. You just double click there.
Ah.
It takes you to the page for the open house, and there is a blue button on there. It says join info session online. And you just click that, take you to the Zoom.
That's so cool. You don't even have to go in person to the open house. You can even do that on Zoom online. So I guess you don't even have to leave your house, guys. You can just go to anandawashington.org, and it's the blue bar on the upper left is where you start, right?
Right. The information session for the art and science of Raja Yoga. It'll take you to the open house website page, and there's a blue button. Just double click, join info session online, and it'll take you right there. They're probably getting ready to open the Zoom meeting, but it doesn't start till 12. So pretty low hanging fruit to hear about it and experience the joy of Morali and Nancy, even if you don't take the class. Morali will do a little talk as part of this that will be inspiring for everyone, no matter if they take the class or not. So it's worth going to. It's fun. It's fun.
And you know, Morali is the best storyteller on the planet. I mean, I could listen to him read this phone book, tell you the truth. I mean, his energy is so wonderful.
If
you got an opportunity to hear Morali speak about anything, you really want to do that. So this is a great opportunity. So if you don't want to watch hydroplanes, you can learn about Raja Yoga and anandawashington.org.
You can do both.
Well, you can. Yeah, you absolutely can. So anything else coming up that we ought to know about?
Yes, the other big class that's happening this fall, it starts on Saturday, September 7th, is the Art and Science of Spiritual Counseling. And don't let that title fool you. You won't be able to hang a shingle with any official thing of... being a counselor, but it's really the art of learning to listen. It's the art of relationships. It's the art of being a friend, Can we get ourselves out of the way when we talk to someone and really hear what they're saying? What's the difference between giving advice and asking questions so folks come to their own conclusions? It's really for everyone. It's a very refined, I hate to say that. I don't mean that in a good way of, a nuanced way of really improving relationships and
A lot of communication education, how to communicate with mm-hmm. folks.
How to communicate, how
I
to
mean,
listen.
Listening is definitely a skill.
Right. And reading body language, what are they really trying to say? Can I pause long enough to let them finish? Can I ask a question like, have you thought of this, rather than saying you should do this? It's really helpful, and it's really freeing when somebody communicates with you that way. You just realize that, wow, you know, I'm not as trapped as I thought I was. There is a solution to this, and I didn't see it, and I have this wonderful friend listening to me and really supporting me, and rather than doing it for me. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, so the Art and Science of Spiritual Counseling, is that the title of the class?
That is, and Padma leads it, and she's been doing a meditator for over 50 years. So she actually lives this, and so guides us all. We get to practice doing roles, like let's pretend you, Jane, you are coming in because you're frustrated with your spouse leaving, doing something, and then Mary Sue, you are the person who's listening, and you get to practice it, and you get to see others practice it, and really just fine-tune it. And it comes from a very high thread that's very liberating.
Yeah, so it's a really good way to learn. You know, again, you don't have to. You're not doing it to necessarily become a spiritual counselor, but you're. It certainly can be helpful. Obviously, that's the title of the class. But learning to communicate, learning to listen, and think about it. When you talk to someone and you're listening, someone's telling you something. Are you really focused on what they're saying, or is your mind busy thinking of what you're going to say next?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the second way, because most of us aren't really listening. We're thinking about what we're going to say in the next. So it's very important. Now, I've had to learn those skills to communicate with animals, you know, because you can't be thinking something different than you're speaking, and you have to be able to focus your mind and imagine it to communicate well. But the same is true if you're really listening to someone, you can't fully integrate it and feel what you need to feel and hear what you need to hear mm-hmm. if your mind's busy thinking of something else.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not an animal healer. I'm not an animal person, but you know, my pets have always felt my energy behind my words. Like, they're not so easily fooled. And, you know, they can teach us something about that as well. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but.
Well, now let's see. So the Art and Science of Spiritual Counseling, you said it begins on Saturday, September 7th. Is it a one-day class? Is it a series of classes? What time? What time? Give us details.
It's six Saturdays.
Six Saturdays. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Morley is one of the teachers for it.
Ah, so the more than just Padma teaching.
Yes, there's a team of teachers. So it's three Saturdays in September and three Saturdays in October.
And I'm assuming it's during the day sometime, probably.
It is. It's from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And listen to the titles of the textbooks for the class. Intuition for Starters. Affirmations for Self-Healing. Okay. In Divine Friendship, and How to Have Courage, Confidence, and Calmness, plus a manual that goes with the course. Like, just those titles alone kind of give you a sense of what the class is about.
Yeah, yeah. And most, I have most of those books. Maybe I don't know that I'm familiar with the first one.
intuition for starters.
Yeah. I don't think, anyway, maybe I'm just forgetting that I have it. But
intuition,
I don't know.
Really is the art of listening, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
I think,
all
yes.
Right. So we have got two big classes starting in September. You actually, I think, could do both of them because the Raja class is on Thursday. But there is one Saturday retreat, you said. But do we know if that conflicts with the spiritual counseling?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Okay. So usually they plan those things out. So Art and Science of Raja Yoga starts September 5th. The open house is going on right now. You can go to anandawashington.org, upper left, and you want to click through for the information on the class, and you can actually zoom in to the open house. So you don't have to go to Ananda today. You can watch it online. And right. Then the Art and Science of Spiritual Counseling begins Saturday, September 7th, six Saturdays from 10:30 to 5:30. And you can sign up for all of this on the website, anandawashington.org, or you can always call the Blue Lotus Temple if you'd like to speak to someone.
Yeah, I'm happy to speak with anyone about either of these courses. I've been part of the Raja course probably 9 or 10 times, and the Art of Spiritual Counseling I've done twice. So,
all right, wonderful.
We can answer.
Super. All righty, we are out of time. So, Sita, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and telling us about these great classes. And we will talk to you or another Anandian the first Sunday of September.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All righty, you guys, it's going to wrap us up for this Seafair Sunday. Next week, second Sunday of the month, and we are on schedule this month, so it's Healing Sunday. It's Best Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique, Neuroenergetic Balancing, Rasmussen Reset, and Energy Code Sunday. Dr. Nels Rasmussen here, Linda Rasmussen here, and we will be taking your phone calls for free remote treatments throughout the show, so plan to be here and plan to call in for your free remote treatments. And then I guess, Nathan, we're good. And if you can tune in to Hydros, you can go to the open house at Ananda on Zoom, or whatever you plan to do on this Sunday afternoon. But remember your animal friends, and leave your animals at home, and because make sure that you're paying attention and water out for all the critters outside. So, Nathan, thank you so much for all your help today. Look forward to seeing you again next Sunday. And as always, everybody, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.